Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sophie.
I'm Yelly.
And this is She's All Fat,
the podcast for fat positivity, radical self-love, and chill vibes only.
My dear junior producer Yelly, today's episode is near and dear to your little heart.
Yes, I talked about this a little bit on our pumpkin spice obsessions episode, but since quarantine started, I've really gotten into gaming and watching streams on Twitch, and it's been really helpful for my mental health and my self-care. And so today, Sophie is chatting with gamer legend extraordinaire, Mermaid Queen Jude, who I absolutely love. I'm a huge fan. I'm subscribed to their channel. I love hanging out in their streams, and I'm super excited to hear what they have to say. But before we get to that, let's head over to our little news corner.
Okay, ding dong. Are you looking for a holiday gift for that special fatty in your life? Get them something from our stylish Assista collab. We've got prints, we've got a sticker sheet, we've even got a mini banner. They're all really cute. Stylish Assista is a black and fat owned and operated small biz. And when you support them, you're also supporting this fat pod.
We have loved seeing all of your cute pics of your super cute SAF stickers. So if you have them and want to flaunt them, please tag us in all of your Instagram pics and stories.
Go check out the whole collection at stylishsista.etsy.com. Also, we have a special offer through the end of the year. When you join our Patreon at Team Paisley Moomoo or above, that's $7 a month, we'll send you a whole sticker sheet as a thanks. Shout out to Tess Malvern. You're getting some free stickers, babe. Also, we've had people get Patreon memberships as presents for their family and friends and spouses before. A great gift for a fellow Fatmily member. If you want to help doing that, just send us an email or a DM and we can make it happen.
And speaking of the Patreon, we have so much going on over there. When you're on Team Paisley Moomoo, you get access to our Facebook group where people are talking about The Prom on Netflix, Melissa McCarthy, and sharing super cute pics of our dogs in their holiday gear.
Yes.
You also get bonus She's All Fat minisodes every Friday.
This season, our bonus minisodes are all Fatty Film School episodes where I bring on a guest to chat with me about fat rep and fat phobia in movies, like The Holiday, which is a hidden gem we talked about last week. Go to patreon.com/she'sallfatpod to join at Team Paisley Moomoo for a sticker sheet, bonus episodes, and more. And thank you for listening to our pitch. It's how we keep the doors open here.
Also, have you checked out our list of 30 small businesses run by talented fatties? We've got recs for pins, stickers, size-inclusive clothing, mugs, and so much more. Check the link in the show notes.
And just in case you need a last-minute gift. I also want to remind everyone that we have a voicemail box at 213-375-5023. And we want to hear from you. We've already got some sweet messages about holiday traditions that I can't wait to play for you next week. Keep sending those messages in. Okay, we made it through all the stuff we had to do. I'm really excited to do this episode because I have known Jude since they were just a baby Twitter body positive influencer.
Like, I remember we've been talking about this episode essentially since I came on as a production assistant a couple seasons ago. So we're very excited to do it now. I think it's also such a good time to do it because with quarantine happening, I feel like a lot of people have turned to video games and Twitch. So it's very serendipitous, I guess, that we're doing it now in our sixth season.
Yes. It's also nice because I didn't know anything about Twitch or like streaming, and I thought of it as a very straight guy dominated platform. And so it's really, really nice to hear about what Jude is doing and see how there's space for people like us in places I didn't even know. So I hope y'all enjoy this episode. Here's my conversation with Jude.
Thank you.
I'm here with Mermaid Queen Jude on the podcast, finally, after years in the making. Literally years in the making.
So long.
To talk about Twitch, fat gaming, and fat rep in video games. So welcome, Jude. Can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi. What's up? Hello. My name's Jude. I am a variety broadcaster on Twitch. I'm a content creator. I'm a cat mom. I am what I would like to describe very loud, very gay, very chaotic, slightly cozy. I stream on Twitch 4 to 5 times a week. And you can find me on other places on the internet, like Twitter and Instagram, typically yelling about something, whether positively or negatively. The future is yet to see, but yes. Typically yelling.
My favorite thing about having known you is that I've gotten to see you progress from, like, when you just started. I think I DM'd you back in the day and just was like, you're doing great. And you were like, thanks. Yeah. And now you're, like, so big and doing amazing. Like, it's been so fun to watch you grow.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. I'm just, like, still feel like a baby.
We'll say this again at the end, but tell people what a good intro to your stuff might be if they wanted to come check you out.
I think what I used to describe myself as a good intro to what the space feels like. I think that, like, we have a very warm and welcoming space, but it's also just full of memes and full of, like, chaos energy, but, like, chaotic good energy. Like, yes. I think the way I would describe my community is one that is ride or die in the best way. So, for an example, the other night we had someone come in to try and troll, and they were trying to, like, insult me for being gay or bisexual, and I turned it around and I was like, hey chat, what kind of gay are you? And they all started listing, like, food recipes with, like, their, like, food puns with their gayness mixed in, and I was like, this is great. God. And it went on for, like, 10 minutes, and the person, like, got so embarrassed and left. Like, I didn't even have to ban them. They just left. And I think that that's a really good example of, like, what my community is. Like, we're all down for the vibes. We're all down to clown. And I love, like, that. You will always feel welcomed in our space. Like, we're very welcoming. I love my community so much. I always want to cry because I'm just so, like, I love them. They're all my little ducklings, and I just appreciate the fuck out of them. If you like games, if you like visual novels, if you like me screeching, if you like bottom energy, that's what you're going to get over on my channel. That's what we do.
Can you talk about your connection to fatness and fat justice in your gaming work? Just in brief sentence, because I have many more questions about this below.
So for those who don't know, I used to do YouTube, and I did primarily fat activism work on YouTube, and then quit last November and then pivoted to Twitch. And Twitch is really far behind in terms of, like, diet culture and fatphobia and just all of these things that I know from my work in this space. And so I've been trying really hard on my stream teams, because I'm on two different ones, to really, like, bring that justice to the forefront and, like, be like, hey, like, this is fatphobic, it's not okay. And people have been really receptive to it, and I've made, like, Twitter threads about, like, how people can be more inclusive, because, like, I didn't stop being fat because I stopped doing fat activism content. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that people don't realize that, like, this was my identity before I started doing fat activism content. Like, I was like this before I started doing that kind of work. So I've tried really hard to kind of, like, navigate the space of Twitch being really cishet and white and thin, and create a space for, like, fat babes to thrive, which has been really fun for me to, like, see.
Love it. Okay, we're gonna explain all those terms for those of y'all who don't know what half those terms are down below. Don't worry if you're like me and don't know what anything is. But first, I want us to talk about our obsessions, which we used to do more of in earlier seasons, and now we're going to bring them back for some interviews. So, Jude, what has been your obsessions recently?
Okay, my two obsessions, because I thought of one while we were doing the first part, is Among Us.
Yes, so explain what Among Us is.
Among Us is like Mafia, but in space. So you are on a spaceship. There are up to 10 of you, and there are two imposters, and basically you are running around as a little, like, jelly bean doing tasks, and, like, you have to, like, fix wiring and, like, do a med bay scan and do this, and, like, and there are two people that are literally going around slicing people in half. You look like a little chicken bone. You have a little chicken, like, a little ham bone sticking out of you if you die. And it's really fun because, like, as someone who, like, does Twitch professionally now, like, it's a really good way for me to stream with other people and, like, have that source of friendship, especially in, like, the times of COVID where I can't see my friends. It's really nice for me to be like, hey, do you want to play games with me? Which is really, like, really fun for me. But also, Among Us has been out for, like, 2 years and recently had, like, a resurgence. And it's just been really, really cool to see people, like, discover the game for the first time and, like, really like make these new ways of playing it. Like someone made like a hide and seek mode, which was wild, where everyone was at like 3x speed and like there's one imposter and like you can't call meetings and like you can't vent and you have to try and kill everyone before they get their task done.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's wild. And so like, oh, it's so fun to watch people like enjoy a game and like not have it be this whole like rage inducing kind of scenario. So I just really enjoy Among Us. I think it's really cute and fun and wholesome.
I love that. I think Among Us was one of Yelly's obsessions for one of our Patreon minisodes too. We played it with my family. It was very fun because we just like were all on FaceTime and then we also were playing the game. And so we could like argue with each other and talk about what was going on. I don't think we followed the rules correctly for like talking, but it was still really fun. Okay, my obsession this week also has to do with murder, which Among Us has to do
with. Oh, I love that. We're here for it.
Kill other people. Okay, so I binged this Netflix show called Evil because I was looking for something that was kind of spooky but not actually too scary because I'll get night terrors if it's too scary. Mm-hmm. But I wanted it to be spooky, you know?
No, I got you.
So I watched this show called Evil and it has the guy from Luke Cage and then it has these two other people who I've never heard of. And basically, it's like a weird reboot mashup of X-Files and The Exorcist. So the guy from Luke Cage is a priest in training, but he questions things. And then the female lead is this psychologist or psychiatrist, and she's sent along with him to like various things that the Catholic Church wants them to investigate. And she's always like, it's not a devil. And he's like, it is a devil. And it's like,
well, that sounds very, so cool, though.
It's very silly. And doesn't take itself too seriously, but it's fun and kind of spooky. And I watched all of it in like 3 days. I don't think it's good for kids to watch. So don't watch it around your kids. But I have been enjoying it so far. And I hope they make a second season and not just do what they do with all my other favorite Netflix shows and like end them after.
Yep.
Cut off. Okay, so I loved doing those obsessions. Thank you for doing those obsessions with me.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's move on to the meat of it.
The meat of it.
Okay, so we're talking about gaming and fat gaming and all this. Yelly wanted me to talk about my favorite games and how I started playing video games. The truth is, I don't really play video games. I play Stardew Valley and Animal Crossing on my Switch. That's it.
I love Stardew.
They're both games that I can do by myself and nobody's yelling at me or like breathing down my neck to go faster. I'm not going to mess up anybody's team if I don't do it the right way.
Yeah.
And I also don't have to coordinate my hand-eye coordination too much for those. I don't know what you call this genre of game, but where you have to control moving with one joystick thing and looking around with the other.
It's like FPS. It's like first person.
Okay. Yes, those are really hard for me. I don't quite understand how to do them. So I've never gotten into those, but I really like Stardew Valley and those kinds of games.
You might like Moonlighter. Moonlighter is kind of like a Stardew Valley-esque game, and the lore of it is that like you inherit this shop from your parents, I think, and like at night, you, like, go and fight little monsters in the caves, and then whatever you gain from the caves, you go back and you sell it at your shop in the morning. And so the more the more money you get to open, like, these shops and stuff. It's really cool. I got it on my Switch. It's really cool.
That sounds right up my alley. That, and then Yelly was telling me about some other game I need to play where you're, like, helping people pass over or something like
that. Ooh, Spiritfarer. I haven't played it yet. Yes. But yeah, Spiritfarer is definitely one that has been circulating around as well.
Those are good recs for anybody like me who wants like very chill vibes in their video games because you have low hand-eye skills at the moment.
I would also say this is a AA game, so it's like $60, but I think it's worth it. Fire Emblem Three Houses is the only Fire Emblem game I've played, but the soundtrack is amazing. It kind of works like a visual novel in a lot of ways, but it's technically a JRPG. So like you
What's
are
that?
A JRPG.
What is Fire Emblem? What is JRPG?
Okay, so a JRPG is kind of like a fighting game, but with RPG, there's turn-based combat. So you're not actually like, you don't have to really have hand-eye coordination. It's more like a chess game more than anything else.
Okay.
I like Fire Emblem a lot because there are Three Houses specifically because there are literally so many paths you can go down. So you can replay it.
Okay, that sounds fun.
It's fun. It's a time sink. I think my first playthrough, I played like 50 hours of it. And, like, it was wild. I have to do another, I'm probably going to do another playthrough soon, probably on my channel, because I started playing Fire Emblem before I started streaming.
What is Fire Emblem?
Fire Emblem is a kind of like a series of games. They don't connect at all. They're just all, it's like the Mario games, where they don't connect, but they're all under the same umbrella. So Fire Emblem is like a series of games and stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. How did you start gaming? What was your intro to gaming?
Ooh, okay. So this story is kind of convoluted and complicated. But when I was younger, my brother was really into games. And so we would play Tekken 3 on our PlayStation 2. I started playing fighting games very, very young. And I love Tekken 3. It's why I bought a PS Classic. I have it. I'm going to play Tekken 3 on my channel soon. I'm very excited. But when my brother passed away, I stopped playing games for a long time. And when I got to college, I was just like, my back had gone out in one of my movement classes. And I was like, well, I'm at home all day and I need something to do. So I bought myself a PS4. And I got really into Overwatch really fast. And so I was just like, this is fun. Like, this is rewarding. Like, I like being able to, like, get better at games and stuff like that. So I downloaded a few games, but I only played Overwatch because Overwatch gave me the satisfaction of getting better at something. And, like, yeah, you can, like, click heads and kill people. And it was very satisfying. The only games that I would play outside of that were, like, Pac-Man at, like, the laundromat or, like, at arcades with my sister. You know what I mean? So, like, when I got my PS4, that was the first time I really, like, stepped foot into the world of gaming in the modern era and, like, on Twitch. And so I got really into Overwatch, and so I got into Twitch, and I was watching Overwatch streamers. And then, like, through Overwatch, I found, like, Dead by Daylight, which is an asymmetrical horror game where you play as a survivor or a killer. And that lasted throughout my whole college career, where I was just on Twitch, just, like, passively, not thinking that, like, I could do that. And then I started spending more and more time on Twitch. And gradually, like, got into more games because it's really fun to watch people experience things for the first time. I would just watch people play, like, Animal Crossing or, like, Stardew. Like, I really think there's a place for everyone on Twitch, which is really cool. So, yeah, I really got back into gaming in, like, college because I didn't have a choice, because my body was like, hi, we don't want to do anything. We hurt.
Yeah.
We're in pain.
Yeah. It was a good escape for you and then turned into something else you can do all the time.
That's, yeah, awesome.
I mean, I'm sure a bunch of our listeners are into gaming because it's so popular. But for people like me and those of our listeners who are not into gaming, can you give, like, a brief primer on what gaming culture is like and if fat people are welcome in general? Because I think my impression is always like, oh, it's a bunch of, like, white teenage boys and, like, I'm going to get yelled at. You know what I mean? Is that, how accurate is that point of view?
I think it's accurate, but not accurate at the same time. So Twitch is very vast and very wide in a lot of respects. And so, like, I truly think there's a space for everyone on Twitch. And so what I would say is, if you have Twitch streamers that you admire or Twitch streamers that, like, are in the space, find where they hang out. Because for me, I'm on two different stream teams. I'm on Rainbow Arcade.
What is a stream team?
A stream team is, like, a collection of streamers, and depending on what the stream team's mission is, they do different things. So a stream team essentially is a tag. You get a little tag under your video on Twitch that says you're on that team. But depending on the team, it can either be just a directory of streamers, or, like I have found, it can be little tiny pockets of families. So I'm in two different, basically, family units. I'm on Rainbow
Arcade. What are they?
So I'm on Rainbow Arcade, which is a LGBTQ+ stream team. It's a strictly LGBTQ+ stream team. I love Rainbow Arcade so much because, and I love my other stream team as well for the same reason, we have tried really hard to cultivate and maintain safe, quote-unquote, safe spaces on Twitch. And we do that through our code of conduct. We have a very strict code of conduct that we as streamers have to follow. And if you break those code of conduct, then leadership is like, hey, no. And you get kicked off the team. And it's so that our streams are safe spaces for people to come to, and so that we're able to raid each other, which, if you don't know what a raid is, basically when you're done streaming, you take all your little ducklings and you go drop them in someone else's pond. And so when I raid someone, I can raid someone from either of my stream teams, and I know that my stream will be safe because, as a streamer, I have very strict rules and very strict guidelines on how people can interact and act in my stream. We have a thing on my panels that's like, this is a space that uplifts and protects marginalized voices. If that's not for you, this isn't the stream for you. And you can pretty much tell if a stream's gonna be for you in, like, the first, like, 5 minutes of being there, because mm-hmm. you can tell if they're moderating their chat, if they're allowing things to slide, if they're letting people be weird, if they're saying rude jokes. Like, there are so many people on Twitch who are just, like, really shitty people. And so I'm not saying that Twitch doesn't have its flaws or that people aren't shitty, because they are. But if you find the spaces that you feel welcome in, you can find a home on Twitch, which is really, really odd for me to say, like, in retrospect, but yeah.
What about people who don't necessarily want to stream, and maybe they're, like, a fan of one or two people on Twitch, but they want to find other friends who do gaming? Is that, like...
Yeah, it's a thing.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. So on Twitch, the protocol for being on Twitch is that, like, if you're a streamer, you have a Discord. And in your Discord, you'll have... In my Discord specifically, we have...
Discord is, like, a chat program.
Yeah, Discord's
a chat program. I keep trying to define everything.
That's kind of like a forum. So, like, our Discord... We have a Dead by Daylight channel, we have an Among Us channel, we have an Animal Crossing channel, and then we have three voice channels underneath. And most nights now, which is really cute and I love to see it, my community will like go into the DBD channel and be like, hi, does anyone want a squad? And so your favorite streamers most likely have some form of looking for gaming kind of scenario thing
a
going on.
A community that you could plug into.
Yeah, okay, a community cool. that you can plug into. And like it's a way for you to find gamers and streamers and people to game with. And a lot of streamers will host like in Discord, like community nights, which I'm going to start doing more often now that I have time to do it. And I'm very excited about it. A lot of people will host movie nights. Like I know that my mods hosted a Princess Diaries movie watch in our Discord a few weeks ago, which was really cute. It was super cute. So like, if you're nervous about making friends, like the community is a reflection of the streamer. And so if you think your streamer is really nice, their community is probably also nice. Like, someone who I, like, think about this a lot, who we wouldn't expect to be someone whose community is, like, very safe and welcoming is Jason Sully. So Jason is the stereotypical straight white man, but Jason's also one of my closest friends. And Jason has done a really good job of cultivating a community that is safe and welcoming for marginalized people, and he uses his platform for good. There are also marginalized creators who are also doing that, you know what I mean? And so I can go into Jason's stream and be like, hi, who wants to play games? And, like, without my partner badge on, just in general. And people would be like, hi, I want to play games. And Jason would be like, join my Discord. And a lot of streamers will be like, hey, join the Discord if you ask about gaming things. And so you can find friends that way. Streamer Twitter is also a really good plugging into streamer Twitter, even though sometimes it's a dumpster fire, is a really good way to find friends. I think Twitch, at the core of it, is all about community. And there is no Twitch without the community aspect of it. And so if you're nervous about it, you can, like, step your toes in and be like, hi, and most likely someone will say hi back.
That's nice. That's a good welcoming description. Now, I have some questions for you about specifically fatness and games. I don't know if there is a yes answer to any of these questions, okay, but I'm going to ask them. Mm-hmm. Do you know about any fat people making games, or if there's, like, fat-positive games in any way?
I don't think there's exactly fat-positive games. I know of people who work in the gaming space who are fat. But there aren't that many, like, fat positive representations, because I think that gaming still has a long way to go. I think we played, what is it called? Final Fantasy VII Remake. And the only we talked about it as a critique, because one of the only characters in the game who was fat really liked food. Like, that was the thing that was going on. And so I was just like, I hate it. And so, like, we had a conversation about it, because, like, the character itself, like, that wasn't his only characterization. But as someone who, like, is primed on this kind of stuff, I was just like, ooh, that's not, ooh. And then recently I've heard of Hades, which is, I think, an RPG that's recently been floating around, that their only fat character is a villain, which we know fat people are villainized. Yeah. And so I think that, like, there's still a long way to go, although I will say in Arcade Spirits, which is a visual novel, one of the characters, her name is Juniper, she's fat. And it's not mentioned, like, it's not a part of her thing. She's shown in a bikini or a one piece. I don't remember when the beach episode happened, because there's a beach episode in Arcade Spirits. It's really fun.
Cute.
So, like, I think if you're looking for fat representation, indie games are going to be where you want to be. Indie games by independent developers are going to be where you want to be, because main studios are not doing it. They're just not. They're not. Yeah. It's like Hollywood. Like, they're not. They're not doing it, and it's not going to happen for a while, and if it does happen, it's probably done poorly, and I haven't seen any main studios doing really good work when it comes to fat rep, unfortunately.
I do think that there are a lot of animal characters I've seen that are chubby or fat, like mm-hmm. Animal Crossing has very round characters.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that counts as fat rep, because animals are allowed to be chubby and cute when people aren't. But I will say Animal Crossing has some cute, chubby characters.
Yeah, Animal Crossing does. Speaking about Arcade Spirits again, because I love this game so much, there's also a fat male character in Arcade Spirits. His name is Percy. And I love him. That's it. I love him. I didn't romance him, so I don't know a lot about him. But I just know that I love him.
Okay, let's see. Here's our next question that I, again, have to have you explain. Because okay. Yelly knows way more about this than me. What's your favorite emote? Oh, what's that mean?
Emotes are personal emotes that you can have on your channel. They're kind of like emojis. So my personal favorite emote on my own channel is Jude Knife. It's me holding a knife. It's a cartoon me holding a knife.
Cute.
I'll just link you to my channel page so that you can see it. Hold on. Where's our chat? You can get, this is a Twitch emote channel thing, so you can see all my emotes that I have up currently.
I feel so old. Okay. Oh my god. These are so cute.
Yeah, my favorite one is Jude Knife, which is the one of me holding the knife, but I really like Jude Sus. I think it's so funny. I think it's so cute. And then I have little ones of Orion as well. Like, I think all of our emotes are incredible.
Oh, and they have little badges for subscribers.
Yeah, you get little badges. And then cheer badges are, like, so on Twitch, you can cheer bits, which are, like, basically, like, Twitch's form of currency. So you get upgraded badges depending on how many bits you cheer over a lifetime of being subscribed to someone or just being in the channel. Ari still has more emotes to give me because we recently got partnered. So when you get partnered, you unlock emote slots depending on how many subscribers you've had over time.
Partnered with another streamer?
No, you mean? Partnered with Twitch. So when you get partnered with Twitch, you have to do this whole thing where you have to like meet 75 average viewers. You have to stream over a certain period of time. You have to have this many hours under your belt, basically. And then you apply, basically telling Twitch about you and your community and your experience. And then Twitch decides whether or not they want to give you the partner badge. And basically, you're verified on the platform. You get more emotes. It's just a milestone kind of thing if you're thinking about doing Twitch streaming for, like, a profession kind of thing. It also helps with brands to be like, hey, I'm a partner on Twitch. And they'll be like, oh, okay, kind of scenario. So when you get partnered, you get to unlock more emotes because as an affiliate, you only get 5. As a partner, you get up to 60 depending on how many subscribers you've had over time. And you get 5 tier 2 and 5 tier 3, which are levels of subscription that people pay.
So these are just rewards that you unlock for being a good streamer, essentially.
Essentially, yeah. So yeah, my favorite emote is definitely Jude Knife. I think Jude Knife is the funniest emote I have.
We'll have to post that on the social when this app comes out.
Oh my god, yes.
I love Jude Knife. I also like Jude Cozy.
Jude Cozy is very cute. I think one of my favorite emotes as well is Jude Chaos, which is Orion in a Velociraptor costume.
I love it.
Because it's so small in chat that a lot of people don't see what it is. And they're just like, what is that? And I'm like, it is my cat in a Velociraptor costume.
So cute. Oh my gosh. Okay, I have another question for mm-hmm. you. When you're talking about all these like ways, the fact that your community feels very safe and people know how to act, what are the things you do to set those healthy boundaries? And are there any of those things that you think people could apply in their own personal online spaces, whether or not they're on Twitch?
Absolutely. I think having a code of conduct for yourself and your stream or your online space is so important. So like for me, I have personal boundaries in terms of no racism, no transphobia, no ableism, etc. Don't be an asshole, basically. But like those rules are really important because then people can't come to you and be like, hey, I didn't know. You know what I mean? People can't say, oh, you never said that. It's like, oh, I did. Yeah. It's in my panels, bro. It's in my panels. But also, we have a very strict no ableism rule in our stream. Like we have an ableism command that links to a document that lists ableist words and then also lists substitutes for those words because it's hard for us to rework the way that we speak when we live in a very ableist society that uses like dumb, stupid, crazy, like in everyday vernacular. Yes. Right. And so like I'm never gonna be mad at someone for like messing up. Like that's not what we're about.
Those are the hardest things for me to get out of my speech. I'm better at not doing them in typing because I'll type it and then I'll be like delete, delete, delete.
Yeah.
But it comes out a lot when I'm it's like really hard to replace those specific,
it's
like
so
a couple
hard.
Of those ones. Yeah.
It's so hard. So the way we circumvent it in my chat, something on Twitch that people don't really use or know about is that you can ban words in your chat so that if someone sends a message with those words, the message doesn't send. So we have those words in our banned word system so that if someone sends a message with it, it doesn't send. And 9 times out of 10, when someone's like, hi, why did my message go through? I'm like, did you use an ableist word? And then they're like,
yeah.
And I'm like, well, there you go.
That's fine.
That's fine. One of my boundaries on Instagram is you are not allowed to vent to me without using some kind of trigger warning or content warning or anything to detail what it is you're going to vent to me about or without permission. Because back when I was doing fat activism work full time, a lot of people would tell me about like their eating disorders. A lot of people would tell me about their issues with their bodies. And I know that you experience this as well.
Yes.
Without any kind of warning. And it's like, listen, I get it that you're struggling and I get it that you feel closer to me than you feel with a lot of people. But the reality of the situation is situations that you know me a lot better than I know you, first of all. Second of all, I do not need an essay at 9 a.m. with your trauma. I just don't.
It's interesting to see that's happened to me less since we transitioned from a more chatty pod to a more like interview based pod with other people, which I wonder is if it's because like I'm sharing less of my just weekly in and out. And so I wonder if people somehow feel less close to me and more of that like respectful distance that I was kind of longing for people to feel.
I think that that's why. I think when I shifted from YouTube stuff to Twitch stuff, a lot of people felt a little bit of distance from me because I was no longer.
Which is not that I don't want, it's not that I don't want people to message me. It's just that sometimes it's too much.
Yeah.
Like sometimes people will start their messages by saying like, I can't talk to anyone in my life about this. And I'm like, but I'm not in your life.
Yeah, I'm not in your life.
You can't talk to me about it.
Someone
I don't know you
DM'd me at like 3 a.m. a few weeks ago. And I was like, this is not allowed. You cannot do this.
Those boundaries are hard to set, especially when I was doing a lot more posting on my story and stuff. I would get more of those too. Because again, people feel like it's kind of a catch 22 because I want people to feel they're invited into my space and like they can talk to me, blah, blah. But I want them to be like, there's a boundary.
Yeah.
And the boundary can be hard to set in different contexts, I think. So it's like really nice to hear that you've been able to do that really well with your Twitch community.
Yeah, I think Twitch makes it a little bit easier. Like, there's a lot of things wrong with Twitch, don't get me wrong. Like, there are things that need to be fixed. But the innate tools that they've built into Twitch, like the banned words, like automod, like giving moderators permission to edit things, like, those things have helped me protect my community in ways that I could not do on YouTube. I could not do the content that I wanted to make on YouTube because I was being harassed 24/7. Because I was getting death threats 24/7. And on Twitch, I never see those messages. I never get them. They never get to me. You type them out and I don't see them. And like, that's the thing. And like having a good moderator team also is really important for Twitch. If you're any kind of marginalized identity, if you're a woman, if you're queer, if you're fat, if you're a person of color, you need to have a good moderator team. Even if it's just like your friends at first, like having two or three people just in your stream at all times that you know are there to protect you is going to lift so many weights off your shoulders because 9 times out of 10 now, my mods will bop something before I even know that there's something to bop. I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. I trust them because the way I do my mod stuff is that like I will put out applications for mods. I will go through, I will pick 4 or 5 people and then my mods will go through and select who they think fits the vibe check. Like, you have to pass the vibe. And that's another thing in our channel that, like, you have to pass the vibe check. If you're coming in here being weird, like, that's not allowed.
I think I am wondering if part of that is because of the live element that, like, you can see and interact with people as it's happening instead of people encountering it differently on their own and then having a more solitary experience with it.
I mean, I guess. Like, there are VODs, though. I have people who watch our VODs. A VOD is your, like, recorded stream. So, like, your VODs stay up basically for, like, 2 weeks. And I have people who watch the VODs and, like, are chill.
Is there, like, chat interact there,
though? No, there's not. And we have Discord. But, like, if people want to, like, react to the VODs, they'll probably just tweet at me. And it's nice. Like, I haven't had a negative experience yet with someone watching my VODs.
I think it makes it, like, if I could be in real time and other people were seeing what other people were saying to me, then there might be more of that easier way to set boundaries.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're like, we're all in this together. Like, you're here, I'm here. Let's not, you know, that's really interesting.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans underwritten by Golden
Golden Rule Insurance Company offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Can you talk about some of the kind of gatekeeping or boundaries around being active on Twitch? Like, I was imagining if you're low income, it might be hard to get into stuff if you don't have the equipment or you don't have access to, like, paying for stuff. How can people of different, you know, people who are disabled, people who are low income, people, blah, blah, like, what are all the... talk about that.
If you are a woman or woman aligned right now, A Thousand Dreams Fund, which is a nonprofit organization, gives out grants up to $2,000 for you to use on tech equipment specifically for Twitch. So I got a grant from them, but I'm holding on to it because the Go XLRs are sold out. But there are grants that you can apply for. There's I Need Diverse Games, which is another nonprofit. There are people who do giveaways from time to time for equipment. But if you're not looking to do that, which is fine, like, valid, there are really cheap, like, webcams you can get. Sometimes you don't even need a webcam to do it. You can get like a PC laptop. I know for me, I wasn't able to pay for my PC on my own, and I pay it in installments. And so if you have someone who can either co-sign with you for that kind of thing, or if your credit is good enough to do it on your own, I recommend that for folks who can't pay it all at once. Like, I got a beast of a PC because I was also doing video editing. So, like, I got a piece of PC because I was just like, all right, well, I'm not only doing Twitch. Like, I'm doing Twitch as an experiment. This all started as an experiment. This wasn't supposed
to. Yeah, I want you to talk about, that's my next question, is to talk about your transition from, like, doing fat activism all the time to doing streaming. Like, tell me about that.
Yeah, so I was creating fat activism content around queerness, mental health, being fat, and talking about, like, media representation, talking about, like, queer representation, talking about what it was like.
It was good content.
It was very good content. I miss making it.
Yeah. It was great content.
It was great content. I made really good content, but the problem with that is that, like, YouTube is very much what I would say an alt-right space, and doesn't protect their marginalized creators at all. And it's very difficult to be a marginalized creator. Like, for those who are listening, I am a queer, Latinx, disabled, fat creator. And so YouTube is not a very welcoming space for me. And there are no protections
in place. I've seen that over and over from other fat bloggers or fat, like, fashion people who just try to do YouTube. And just after a while, they're always just like, I can't handle this anymore. Like, it's somehow much more aggressive than a lot of other platforms.
It's so aggressive. And the thing about it is that, like, people will literally just steal your content. Like, straight up just steal your content, repurpose it, put it on awful forums, put it on places that it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Take your face without permission. And you can't even fight them in court because technically it's fair use, even if it's not fair use. And, like, if you're someone who is low income, there's no way for you to pay those court fees to fight that. You know what I mean? And so there was a point where I was like, I'm not making any money. I'm not having fun. I hate making videos now. It makes me anxious. I'm having really bad PTSD episodes. Yeah. I don't want to do this anymore. And at that point, the universe intervened. For those who don't know, I'm also a witch. I was working on video editing content for a client of mine, and my laptop started to skip. So, like, the frames were dropping, and I couldn't even edit the video that I was supposed to be editing. And I was like, I think I need a new computer. And I don't want to pay for another MacBook, because at that point I had already paid $700 to repair my MacBook.
Yes.
And I was just like, no. And I went online and I was like, are we doing this? Yeah, we're probably doing this. And then I got a PC and I was like, all right, we're going to try Twitch. And if I hate it, if it sucks, like, if I don't want to do it, then I won't do it. And I'll probably just, like, focus on Instagram or something. And I was talking to Stevie, who's a friend of mine. And I was like, should I, like, do Twitch? And she's like, do you want to do YouTube? And I was like, no. Like, yeah, then you should do Twitch. And I was like, okay. So then I started on Twitch and I started playing Stardew. Like, I did Stardew. I started with Stardew. We did a farm. I started in my bedroom. I didn't have a proper gaming chair. I had a Pop-a-Son chair that was broken. I had a webcam that I bought online. I was using a headset that I had bought for my PS4 a while back. My audio was terrible. And I told my friends that I was streaming. I was like, hey, I'm going to stream. And they were like, all right. And they came by and they streamed. I got affiliate in 3 days, which made me want to cry. There was something really fun about being live and being able to interact with people and play games and chill and have it be something that could be something that was bigger than that. And so I said, I'll give myself 3 months. And if by month 3, I don't hate it, we can start to decide what we want to do with this. And I didn't hate it. And we played through Fallen Order, which is like a Star Wars game that came out on PS4 last fall. We played through that whole thing. We played through a game called After Party, which is a game where it's an indie game where you basically, like, you die and you have to, like, party your way out of hell. Like, you have to party with Satan in order to leave. It's a really fun game. Played Stardew. We played a bunch of stuff. And then I, at that point, was, like, realizing that while I was doing YouTube at the tail end of it, I was kind of martyring myself and realizing that being a martyr had become all that I was. And I had kind of segmented myself into, like, this little pigeonhole. And I just wasn't happy. And I was relearning what it was to experience joy in doing a job and prioritizing queer joy, prioritizing fat joy. And, like, that is something that I am very much about now, where it's, like, we're allowed to not only talk about our trauma and pain. Like, we're allowed to just have fun. We're allowed to just chill. We're allowed to just vibe. And that's okay. Like, we don't have to be talking about our trauma 24/7 to be valid. And it's something that I'm still working through. And it's something that, like, I didn't realize that I was, like, re-traumatizing myself by subjecting myself to that content day in and day out. Because for those who don't know, I worked really hard on YouTube. I made 4 videos a week. I was on Instagram all the time. I was on Twitter all the time. I worked my ass off basically for nothing, for, like, getting to a point where I was just, like, exhausted and didn't make any money and burnt out. So yeah, so I pivoted because I was like, I can't keep doing this. I'm only 22 and I feel like I want to scream at the top of my lungs. Like, it's not okay.
I mean, yeah, that's one of the reasons that with this pod, we've always tried to be, we've always had chill vibes. It's, like, one of the things, because I'm so tired of fighting about fat pain and, like, how people mistreat fat people and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, those get a lot of retweets, but they make me miserable because then I have people attacking me for days afterwards.
Yeah.
And, like, prioritizing spaces. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, like, last season, we talked to a lot of people who are just fat doing a thing.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to show people, you know, this is a space for fat people. That doesn't mean we only have to talk about fat activism.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's also revolutionary and good to show, you know, like, a fat person doing this thing successfully or doing that thing happily.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think that our existence is resistance. And I think that that gets lost along the way. People are like, oh, you're not doing enough because you're not shouting about X, Y, and Z. And I, a few months ago, talking to my therapist, and I was like, oh, I know that I've kind of gotten past this because, like, something was happening in the community and, like, there was just drama. And I was like, I don't care about this. Like, yeah. I just don't care about this. And, like, past me, who was still in the community, because that was the other thing, is that, like, a lot of people expected me to react to things based in anger or based in outrage. I was doing a lot of outrage content.
A lot of people who aren't creators or, I don't know how to say it, like, people who aren't people look to in, in fat community, sometimes they expect people who are, like, creators or, you know, influencers or whatever to just, like, give them the words for how they might feel in a moment if they don't feel like a lot of people have told me that they'll look to me for, like, my take on something. And I'm like, that's nice. But I don't want to always be your conduit of, like, rage. Like, you have to come up with this by yourself.
Right.
You know, you can be angry without me, too.
Right.
And I mean, for me, another thing that being too involved in that kind of up and down all the time did for me was make me, it honestly made me feel less integrated as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be focusing more on what I like and not reacting to every fatphobic thing made me feel more, I don't know, I'm not saying this clearly, but it just made it easier for me to feel comfy. Like, I didn't feel like I had to be looking for stuff all the time,
no,
you know?
No, same. I, since starting Twitch, I was telling my community this yesterday, I am such a more happy and well-rounded individual. I'm such a better person than I was. I don't react in anger as quickly anymore. I hear people out. Or if I don't want to hear people out, I'm just like, that's not for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I have very clear boundaries on, like, what I want to engage with and what I don't want to engage with. And it's just so nice to, like currently I'm relearning how to be a full human is what I like to call it.
Yeah.
Because I currently moved out of my parents' house. And so for those who don't know, I have complex PTSD around living situations. And so I'm currently relearning what it is like to live fully and, like, be able to sit in the living room and watch TV and, like, play with our cats and, like, take a bath and cook in the kitchen. Like, there are lots of things that my energy is focused on that have nothing to do with outrage stuff on the internet. And it's so nice to, like, be able to have joy on the internet. I have so much more fun on the internet now than I used to because I'm hyping people up that are having a good time. I'm finding people to play games with. I am in other people's streams just memeing. Like, it's yes. so nice to, like, be a full person, because I think that a lot of the times those of us that are marginalized in the public eye are expected to martyr ourselves or segment ourselves.
To perform that identity yeah. to be kind of a vocal point for other people.
Exactly.
And, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, that stuff is also important, having somebody strongly say, like, hey, this isn't okay about various stuff or whatever. But first of all, it doesn't have to always be in community people. Someone else could fucking say it.
Yeah.
Someone,
you know.
And hey. Second of all, like, we don't have to do that all the time. Like, sometimes I do feel strongly enough about something and I feel like I'm in a good place. And then mm-hmm. I want to go on and be like, blah, 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 blah. But yeah. I only want to do that when I feel able to handle the repercussions. I can't always do that. You know, I haven't been on Twitter or Instagram for like the last couple months mm-hmm. because I've been too stressed out. And like, I can't. Do it
that's
right
valid.
Now.
So no, that's so valid.
Someone else is going to tweet about the fatphobic things on Netflix. It's not me right now.
Right.
You know, someone else can do it. It's hard to find a balance because, like, for me, seeing anger about fatphobic stuff was really important to me allowing myself to feel anger mm-hmm. about fatphobic stuff yeah. when I was first getting into fat positivity. And it's not like that doesn't play a role. It's just an exhausting role. And we got to, like,
gotta do also other things.
Take care of ourselves. Yeah.
One thing that I've been talking about recently is that, like, when you are upset with your body or when you're upset with yourself or when you hate yourself publicly, you have to think about who's benefiting from that and who's yeah. profiting off of that. And so we've been talking a lot about how self-love is an act of rebellion. And yeah, self-love doesn't fix oppression. We've been over yes. this. We know this. But it is something to be said about where you are exerting your energy. And how you are exerting that energy. And like, yeah, it's important to feel anger. It's important to feel sadness. It's important to realize that these things still need to change. But how are you taking care of yourself? How are you right. refilling your cup when you are fighting those fights? Also, you don't have to fight every fight that you're invited to.
Right.
You do not have yes. to throw hands at every fight. I promise.
Yes, it's so true. I'm going to be interested after this to check out Twitch a little bit more. I want to look at your stuff specifically, obviously, and see more like how does it actually go? Because I am very interested in why different internet communities are harder than others to make mm-hmm. a like good space in. And I'm excited to get more into that because yeah. I've never watched anything on Twitch.
If you
like,
need
ever.
Recs, I have so many.
Yes.
I have so
I
many.
I need all the recs.
I love Twitch so recs. Much. I think Twitch is so fascinating for so many reasons. And I think that it's because, like I said before, there's literally a space for everyone. And sometimes my vibes are more chill, but most of the time they're just chaotic. Like, it's chill, but chaotic. I don't know how to describe it to you. Like, it's just fun to, like, be able to, like, be my full authentic self. Yeah, I'm on. But I am my full authentic self on stream, and that's yeah. really fun to have permission to be that.
So does Twitch, do you make money off of Twitch?
I do.
Do you want to talk about that?
I do. Okay. So on Twitch, once you're an affiliate, which is the level below partner, you can make money off Twitch through subs, through bits. You can make money through tips as well, but you don't have to be an affiliate for that. So on Twitch, there are different tiers of subs. There's a $5 sub, a $10 sub, a $25 sub. Twitch takes a cut of that. Depending on what level it is and whether or not you're a partner. There's bits, which is the Twitch income.
Do
thing.
People pay for those?
Yes. So you pay
bits?
For them.
Okay.
You pay for them. There's an upcharge for them. And then if you give bits, the streamer gets the full amount of bits because you paid the upcharge for them. Bits kind of work like pennies. Like one bit is 1 cent, basically. And then there's tips that you can do through the creator's tip jar, whatever tip jar they have linked. And there's... like Patreon, obviously, and then, but like directly through Twitch, you make money through subscribers and bits. That's what you make money through. And so some streamers have like subathons, some streamers just encourage you to sub, which is why like the emotes are important. Like I think emotes are really important because it gives people an incentive to sub, or it gives people like a reward for subbing in a way.
You get to use them.
Yeah,
if
you get
subscribed.
To use them. Yep, you get to use them all over Twitch okay. and also in Discord if you're in their Discord server. If you're subbed, okay. you get to use them all over Discord. And yeah, so I make most of my income through Twitch, which is wild.
I'm so proud of you.
I pay my rent with Twitch. I was talking to my roommate about this because I was like, I feel like an imposter. And she's like, bitch, you literally pay your rent money with Twitch.
Yeah,
with Twitch.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's so cool. It's so cool. I feel so blessed. Like, I always feel so blessed and overwhelmed at, like, the amount of success that we've had in such a short time. And I think about Whitney because Whitney Catalano, we talk a lot. And
Whitney Catalano, friend of the pod, who has been on our, like, last couple seasons. Yes.
Whitney was making a few Instagram stories like a few months ago about how like when you are aligned with something, it happens much faster And I was noticing that with Twitch. I was just like, oh, like, I feel aligned and things are happening much faster than I anticipated. And so, like, I really think I'm doing what I was supposed to be doing a while ago. But, like, we got here eventually. It's fine. But I do make money on Twitch. I also video edit for other Twitch streamers because that's a skill set I have. And people have been asking me about mentorship and helping them with branding and stuff, which I'm still working on getting around to. But, like, yeah, I make money on Twitch. I do things. And it's just really weird and cool. And
that's amazing. It's such a fun existence
to, like, live in.
I think you should be very proud of all of that. And I think whenever I feel that way about stuff, like, a lot of times I'll be like, I do a podcast, you know, when I'm feeling, like, down on myself. And then inevitably I'll get some message that's like, thanks so much, this episode helped me talk to my mom. And then I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Shut up, Sophie.
Yeah, like, same. I do the same thing. And it's just so cool because, like, I get to make money playing games and talking to my community and playing games with my friends and vibing. And having a community, like, I get to essentially make money for having a community on the internet.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's so cool. It's so cool.
And that is work, as we just talked about. That is work.
Yeah, it's work. And I love my job so much. I love streaming on Twitch. I was off routine last week because our internet was shitty and I had to fight with the internet company for 7 days straight. I was so off routine and I missed them. And I was like, I was going to my roommate and I was like, I just want to stream. And she's like, I know. Want to stream because I love streaming so much. Like, and I think as someone like who is disabled, like, streaming has allowed me to have an autonomy over my finances. It's allowed me to be able to work from home. Like, you're your own boss. I can stream for 4 hours and call it. I can stream for 3 hours if I don't feel well and call it. I can stream an extra day if I need to. Like, I can take off if I need to. And that is something that I do not take for granted. It's something that I am very thankful for, that I'm able to do my job and be able to take care of myself at the same time and do the things that I want to do. And this is what I tell people all the time. Like, my job as a streamer, my job as a creator is to empower you to make the decisions that make your life easier. It's to empower you to make decisions that you are afraid of, because you're allowed to be these things even though people are telling you not to. My job is to give you the empowerment and strength to spit in the face of the people that tell you that you can't do anything. Because you're allowed to, there's nothing wrong with you. You're allowed to do the things that you want to do. And, like, that's my job as a streamer. It's my job as a community facilitator, which is what we like to call me as well. In my mods. I like to call my mods those as well, because that's what they are.
I love that. I think that is the perfect thing to end on. My final question for you is just if you have any advice to any fat babies who want to start their own Twitch channel.
Yeah. Okay. So please use the moderator tools that Twitch gives you. Banned words are your friend. If you want to ban the word fat in your chat, you're allowed to do that. It doesn't make you a bad fat activist to ban it. It's banned in my chat because people weaponize it. I can call myself fat, but trolls on the internet cannot call me fat. They're not allowed. So feel free to ban that word in your chat for a little while. Get your friends that are going to hang out in your stream anyway to have a sword. Give them a sword. And, like, if they're bad at their job, then take the sword away. But it's nice to have a friend or two that know you and can protect you. Also, play games that you want to play. Don't play the games that are popular if you hate them. Chat knows when you're not having a good time. Also, the last really big thing that I will say is that if you want to do Twitch as, like, some form of career or just want to have it as a job or whatever, you need to use Twitter. You have to. It's one of the things that is the bane of my existence, but you have to use Twitter. Taking your clips from stream, captioning them, putting them on Twitter allows other people to find you. It's going to allow other people to get to know you and your vibe and stop into your stream. Utilizing those tools, even though they're a little cumbersome, it's going to be really, really beneficial for you as a streamer, and learning how to brand yourself and learning, like, what your style of comedy is if you want to rely on comedy. Like, those things are really, really, really important. But lastly, the last thing that I want to say is that, like, you don't have to be anyone but yourself to do streaming. You literally can just be yourself, and there is an audience for everyone. You are not going to be for all markets, and that's okay. Your people will find you, and that's fine. It might take a little while because Twitch is a vast pool of so many streamers, but you will find your people. If you want to find your people faster, what I recommend, going into other streams. Don't self-promote. It's not recommend. Do not do that. But go into other streams and actually be a part of their community and make friends. Because those friends will come to your stream and you can go to their streams. It's all about the family vibe. So, like, treat it as such.
You're so perfect.
You're perfect. I love you.
Can you just tell people where to find you on the internet? And everyone, please go check out Jude. Tell us where to click to find your stuff.
Where to click, yes. You can find me everywhere at Mermaid Queen Jude, except Twitter, because Twitter is a hater. It is Mer Queen Jude on Twitter, MerQueenJude on Twitter, because, again, Twitter is a hater. But Mermaid Queen Jude on everything else. Literally, it makes me so mad. It's probably one of the biggest banes of my existence. I am over by one letter. One letter. Oh. And Twitter won't give me the handle. I'm so pissed.
You can't be Mermaid Queen Judd.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. So that will go to me. Go with me to the grave. I'm so pissed about it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Thank you so much for coming on the show finally. I'm so glad we got to have you. And I'm so glad that I know more about Twitch now, because I literally, like, Yelly had to tell me so much because I was like, I don't know anything about this. And thank you for being you. And yeah.
Thank you for being you. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thanks for being on the show. And goodbye.
Bye.
It is so cool to have Jude as a friend of the pod.
Yes, and let me shout out another friend of the pod, Sweet Cheese Cow, who left us this review on Apple Podcasts. They said, "This podcast helps me re-examine the way I think about and love my body and hold myself and others to a higher standard when it comes to how we treat other people. Thank you so much for putting this out into the world."
That is so nice and so validating for me. And that kind of review is what makes this worth it for me to do, because I feel like the family is out there making the world better. If you want to make us laugh and cry and someday get to new and noteworthy, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and I'll be excited about it every single time. And we can't forget to shout out our patrons. So thank you to Jenny Penny and Jax Lando,
Kelsey Ford,
Rebecca Brown,
Jess Wagner,
Joanna Jackson,
Brooke Howell,
Katrina Evans,
Kay Milbrook,
Katie Cummings,
and Tatiana Flesis. We couldn't make the show without you.
Bye!
She's All Fat was created by me, Sophie Carter Khan, and April K. Quio, who graduated. We are an independent production. If you'd like to support the work we do, you can join our Patreon by visiting patreon.com/she'sallfatpod. When you pledge to be a supporter, you'll get all sorts of goodies and extra content. Please make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's super important in making sure people find the show so we can grow the family. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to the stuff we mentioned today. And don't forget to send us your questions at fyi@she'sallfatpod.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 213-375-5023, and we might even play it on the pod. Our episode ads are done in partnership with Acast. If you're interested in sponsoring the show, you can get started at acast.com. Our theme music was composed and produced by Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs. Our website was designed by Jesse Fish, and our logo is by Hannah Sanger. Lynn Barbera co-produced and edited this episode. Yelly Cruz is our magical junior producer. Our thin crony forever is Maria Bertel. I'm our host and co-producer. Our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter handles are at She's All Fat Pod. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Stay safe. We love you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.